Someone told me this past week that we get to celebrate the continuation of winter, at least. That's based on the opinion of one rodent from Pennsylvania. You know, and I'm sure, at least I hope so, that it's meant to be fun, you know. It's something that I really have never really looked into. I'm sure there's some way this got started, and, you know, and that somehow or another the, you know, because you and I know the seasons come and the seasons go. And sometimes our spring comes early, but I don't think it's based on, you know, Bullwinkle pulling a rabbit out of his hat. Sometimes we have a wet and muddy spring, and then again we might see where our spring turns hot and summery right out of the gate. So how many of you are ready for spring? Well, ready or not, here it comes. Or ready or not, here it doesn't come. The unpredictability of spring, when it comes. Well, it'll be done in due time. And of course, then we're going to move into summer. Just about every summer, we'll go through a period where most conversations, you know, just about everybody talks about the weather, you know, but, you know, nobody ever does anything about it. But we'll talk about the weather, and we'll hear, you know, the things like, you know, the question that we'll ask, you know, we'll ask each other if it's hot enough for you, or we'll encourage people to, you know, not overdo themselves. And I guess I'm not much different than most of all, because every so often, you know, I mean, I like to put out the little phrase that says, well, it sure beats 40 below. And every so often that people will want to dwell on the miseries that the heat brings them. And so often it's the same people that dwell on each and every other misery that they have. And most of us realize, you know, it's summer in South Dakota, you know, and we expect that. And then, you know, we'll have autumn will come along. And we always talk about autumn as, you know, when I was young, you have the cooling temps and the harvest and the beauty of the colors, and the Red Sox have blown the thing again and lost. And you know, just the sure signs of autumn. Generally, autumn is going to be more predictable than the spring season. Then winter, then all, of course, well, you know, it's not hot enough for you, it's cold enough for you. And we encourage each other to stay warm. And you know, it's one of those things that, again, it's winter in South Dakota. And you know, every once in a while, I'll relate to somebody that when I was young once. I know I look young now, but I'm not. You know, we didn't have wind chill. It was just 45 below. Yeah. And so we're kind of, I think, used to it, except, well, you know, we just as soon not deal with it, obviously, if we don't have to. You know, when we think about the romance of the days of the farm when we were growing up, we forget about frozen hog waters at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, and it's just, it's, time has gone on, you know. It gets me thinking about the seasonal variety that, you know, and I'm going to say that we enjoy in our part of God's world, but also at the same time when I think about it, can be taken as a reminder how we in the church have our seasons as well. You know, we get into late November and into December, and we've been coming out of that now here recently, but we celebrate the Advent season. And we sing, O Come, Emmanuel. And hopefully that's something that we're singing from our heart. And, you know, it's a musical prayer of sorts where we're praying for the coming of the Lord. And we're commemorating those who were praying for the coming of the Lord. So we go through there, and then and as we get closer to Christmas, we're reminding everybody that Jesus is the reason for the season, and we'll celebrate the birth of the Christ child, God's arrival on earth to be with us. Then spring's going to roll around. We're going to get through the winter, and as spring rolls around, and you know, we're entering the Lenten season, where you know, we're going to put a little more emphasis on the death of Jesus, on the cross for our sins. Of course, leading to the celebration of our Lord's resurrection, Resurrection Day. And we come out of Resurrection Day, and what season do we celebrate? We celebrate the Pentecost. So we pay a little more attention, at least in theory, to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then we start the cycle over again. And many of us will maybe fall into a comfortable routine where if we're not careful about practicing our faith, we can fall into something of a rut. I mean, yeah, well, we know our Lord, but sometimes maybe we do feel just like giving it lip service. And we've all heard this, you know. I mean, you know, where are we putting Jesus in our lives? Where are we putting Jesus in our hearts? As well as the mission that we've been given. Not just as a church, because as his church, we have a mission. But as individuals, we also have a mission, and that mission being of serving God in multiple ways. Primary being the sharing of the good news of how God has extended his grace to us through the blood of Jesus. And I guess you could say time marches on, doesn't it? Because before long we've gone through 20 or 30 or then 40 or more Christmases. And maybe 50 or 60 Easters. And time is going to march on. And we're going to celebrate milestones in our lives and in the lives of our family, in the lives of our neighbors, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our church family, and in the life of the church itself. But time marches on. We're going to face and hopefully support others who face the challenges and setbacks that come with living as time marches on. And the next generation will come along and they'll assume their roles in life as that time marches on, and time will march on for them. And it's easy for the routine to bring us to the point where we feel that it's always been this way. Which, you know, really I guess it has, you know, outside of, you know, cell phones and air conditioning and furnaces. And it will always be this way, won't it? Or, well, will it? You know, I'm going to read from Hebrews here. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. Should have hit Todd's glasses today. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And we find a few things here. Just as man is destined to die once. Well, you know, death is something we do talk about. It's something we address. And, you know, it's not necessarily because we want to. But I guess we can say that death is part of living. And unless the Lord returns for his people during our lifetime, during our physical lifetime, we'll expire. Ready or not. And, you know, the best of my knowledge, Enoch and Elijah, you know, are probably the only ones who didn't experience death. I couldn't find anybody else. Maybe there's somebody else in there, but not that I'm aware of. So, and we've all experienced the loss of loved ones. And being honest with ourselves, we know that we're going to experience that same death of our physical presence as well. It's, you know, unless the Lord does return in our time. And after that, then, you know, we will face our time of judgment. You know, that's, you know, judgment's something we don't talk a lot about. It's not a season on the church calendar. And, you know, some will actually discourage the idea of judgment in their teaching and preaching. And, you know, and I'm not here to dwell on it today. I will tell you that, as you know, when you do pulpit supply, if you want to go in and talk about judgment, that's a good way to not get invited back. But if you get into God's word, it's in here. And then we read, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Now, we're going back to our Lenten routine. But, and as a quick aside, when you hear that, I mean, how do you act? How do you react when you hear this, that Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people? I mean, is this something we accept? You know, again, I'm off on my little rabbit trail here. But it seems like so many of us want to keep sending Jesus back to that cross. And there's a song done a number of years ago. Roger, what's the guy's name? Brother Roger. Bro, he's gone now. How many times does the Savior have to die for you? So, I mean, is this like, do we have this gratitude, or do we have this devotion, or do we have kind of a, well, it's always been that way. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, he's already done that, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, when we are waiting for him, what are we doing? I mean, you've heard stories, and it has happened, where people sell everything they got, and they'll go up on the edge of some hill somewhere, because somebody somewhere said, Jesus is coming back on May 14th of whatever. We've heard those stories. You know, it happened here not too many years ago. I mean, well publicized. You know, and of course, what I would call, you know, those who are wrapped up in the culture are going to use that to point to the church as being a bunch of goofballs. You know, I mean, when they actually point at the 45 goofballs that have decided to, you know, listen to somebody that said something, you know. But I mean, so is that what we mean by waiting for him? We're all going to sit up on the edge of this hill? You know, well, are we going to wait for him by diving under the bed because things aren't going the way we want, because, you know, we've been told, you know, things are, you know. Well, do we talk a lot about Jesus coming back? Now, I know we have, and you know, and we've talked about this. Really, where we've maybe dwelt on it a little more a couple of times during my lifetime, where we've talked about it. But, you know, when we look at the Apostles' Creed, we do see the words, it's a statement and confession of faith, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And that, you know, is something that we believe. And it's something we say, but, I mean, do we think about it other than, you know, when we say that, do we think about it? And we're supposed to be waiting for it. And how? What are we doing while we're waiting for it, I guess, is the question to kind of bear in mind. And you know, for those who don't believe it'll happen, they, you know, that's not something that I see as a biblical view. I mean, there's, because you're going to find some in their preaching and teaching and that don't put a lot of stock in Jesus returning, and you're also going to see a lot of them that maybe don't spend a lot of time. Others that don't talk much about it because, you know, they've given that over to God. If all you hear every week is, you know, God's return is imminent, well, in his time frame, yes. In our time frame, maybe, maybe not. You know, it comes up quite a bit as we browse God's word that God will, Jesus Christ will be returning. And just to save that thought, the idea of him not returning, of God more or less abandoning those who are his, it's not in here. So when we look into God's word, he says he's coming back. And then we can read in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So, you know, the dust hasn't settled, and his crew is staring at the sky, yet. Now, Matthew 24 is devoted to the topic of Jesus' return. And I'll hit some highlights, because, you know, Gary read it this morning, and it's a good passage, and maybe that's an assignment for the week to read it another time or two for all of us. But in verse 30, he says, At that time the sun will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. Well, why are they going to mourn? Well, because their way is done. Their way is done. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky, with power and great glory. So, we've heard from a couple of angels, and we've heard from Jesus himself just in a couple places that he's coming back. And ever since then, we've seen and heard about those who feel that they're able, again, to predict when. And Jesus speaks to this as well in Matthew 24, starting with verse 36. He says, watchful, be aware. So, but if we read Matthew 24, verse 36, you know, and what's he going to say there? Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Well, okay, he's going to say this later. It's recorded in Acts that he's saying this. Not even the angels of heaven, not the Son, but the Father only. So this answers the when question for me. But, you know, if I need more, Peter, who would have been present when the incident in Acts is described, writes in 2 Peter 3 how the day of the Lord will come like a thief, a sentiment that Paul shares in 1 Thessalonians. So when we hear these specific predictions as to when Christ will return, you know in advance that they're going to be wrong. Now, we see shadows, I think is the word that David Jeremiah has used. We see shadows of the end times in front of us. But we do need to realize that God's timetable is different than our timetable. And so we know in advance that somebody's going to come out and say, September 15th of 2027 is when, you know, Christ is returning to rapture his church. We know that's wrong. But they're made by people who are ignoring the very word of God that they say they so diligently study. Someday it's going to happen. And I need to, each of us needs to ask ourselves, if it were today, am I ready? You know, legend has it that Francis of Assisi was in his garden one day, as he worked, a neighbor looked through the gate asking, "Brother Francis, should the Lord return within the hour, what first would you do?" And Francis responded, "First, I shall finish this roll." Francis has been gone many hundred years now, but his words show us today the real security that he had in his faith and his eternal fate. That's a security that's ours, that we can have when we belong to Jesus Christ. Perhaps Jesus will return soon, perhaps not. And if not, our time in this life will run out. You know, I put these thoughts together and I run across items to share. One's just a little quip, and it oversimplifies things a little bit. And, you know, some of you have heard this before, and you may have even heard me say it before. It says, "Jesus is coming, look busy." And we all should know that God can see through our appearances to the core of our being, to the center of our hearts. And it gets me to thinking that perhaps a lot of the Christian church sometimes is trying to look busy. Some deep people, they don't like me using that statement. It's like I'm taking things lightly. But, you know, if we look busy because we're serving God, there's nothing wrong with that. The fact that we're called to, you know, I mean, if we look like busy, you know, because we're only just following, doing stuff to fill our own needs, you know, well, I'll let everybody think for themselves on that one. Another thing I came across, it's just a little meditation that I, you know, came across years ago, and, you know, again, maybe you've heard this before. It was Marcia Morrissey wrote this, a little column concerning Jesus' return. And it was actually something that, I think she wrote back the last time there was some well-publicized, oh geez, the world's ending, everybody should get to the end of this hill or whatever. And she says, I don't know when the Lord will return. Maybe soon, but only God knows. The thing I do know for sure is that each day is a day closer to the Lord's return for me personally. And I want to be ready and to keep in mind that I will, we all will, have to give an account for how I used the time he gave me. One of these days, the Lord will return. But that is in his time frame, not ours. So for now, in the words of the psalmist, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know, again, you know, I'm confident that when Jesus said he would return, that he meant it. And again, two men in white, turning to the men of Galilee, who were staring into the heavens, that when they said, he's going to come back the same way you just saw him leave, they meant it. And in our limited perspective of time, perhaps soon, perhaps not. And again, if not soon, our time in this life will run out. So as we watch and we wait, are we about our Father's business? Or are we sitting on top of that hill? Are we hiding under our bed? Because either of those times is going to come for us. The return of Jesus, or our departure from the physical life. And as we wait, the question for each of us to ponder isn't so much the when, as it is, if it were now, am I ready? Let's pray together. Father, keep us mindful of what you would have us do to serve you until our time here is done. This is a prayer we left in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. Just to leave you with a little benediction, well-known theologian Yogi Berra says, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. You know, you and I are all going to come to a lot of forks in our lives, and we have. And the most important fork in our road is when it comes to Jesus Christ. Do we belong to him? And the answer is it our answer yes, or is our answer no? So are you nurturing your faith in God's word to better know God in prayer? To draw nearer to God in service, using God's time and resources to serve the kingdom of the Lord. Now, with the grace of the Son and the love of the Father and the power of the Spirit, let's all go in peace.